that a greater fool than Jane Eyre had never breathed a breath of life, that a more fantastic idiot had never surfeited herself on sweet lies and swallowed poison as if it were nectar.
"You," I said, "a favourite with Mr. Rochester. You gifted with the power of pleasing him? You of importance to him in any way? Go, your folly sickens me. And you have derived pleasure from occasional tokens of preference, equivocal tokens shown by a gentleman of family and a man of the world to a dependent and a novice. How dared you? Poor stupid dupe. Could not even self-interest make you wiser? You repeated to yourself this morning the brief scene of last night? Cover your face and be ashamed. He said something in praise of your eyes, did he? Blind puppy. Open their bleared lids and look on your own accursed senselessness. It does good to no woman to be flattered by her superior, who cannot possibly intend to marry her. And it is madness in all women to let a secret love kindle within them, which, if unreturned and unknown, must devour the life that feeds it, and if discovered and responded to, must lead ignis fatuus-like into miry wilds whence there is no extrication. Listen, then, Jane Eyre, to your sentence. Tomorrow, place the glass before you and draw in chalk your own picture. Faithfully, without softening one defect, omit no harsh line, smooth away no displeasing irregularity. Write under it, Portrait of a Governess, disconnected, poor, and plain.